Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're going to talk about exposing darkness. And before we get started, I just want to say, if you hear my dogs barking in the background, they may be louder than usual because I have them quarantined off to the side because my lawn guy is here and they're barking like crazy at him. So, sorry about that. Anyway, I've been working on this message for about 3 days now. And this morning, this is Thursday, May 24th, 2018. It's right before Memorial Day weekend. And I woke up and I was talking to the Lord in my prayer time. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I got the right message because I'm having trouble bringing it together. You know, and usually it's not this hard. And I said, I don't really know what's going on. I said, so if the message doesn't come together, I guess I'll preach something else today. And he said, it's Satan that's trying to stop that message. And I'm like, oh. And then I thought about it, and I thought, of course, he would try to stop this one. So, just so you know that, I have been working the last 2 days. I didn't work on anything but this. So, I've been working on it for a while. So, I hope it comes across making sense. So, let's get started. Exposing darkness. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. One of the most difficult aspects to me of being a Christian today is seeing and hearing about so much evil in the world around us. I am really, as the Bible would say, vexed by all that. I cringe sometimes when I hear some of the things that happen. It really grieves me. And I read online a couple of days ago that the gubernatorial candidate for Texas governor for the Democratic side is an openly gay politician. And she won over somebody else that I've heard of before and can't remember if he was in office when I was in Texas. But it grieves me. It grieves me that this is so common and so clearly against Scripture. So, you know, other things grieve us too. And I know some of you are also grieved because you email me and tell me these things. And we're both feeling the same thing. You know, the school shootings, in Canada, there are dog brothels. Now, did y'all know there are dog brothels that are legal in Canada now? That was passed last year. That grieves me to no end. To no end. That those helpless animals are sold, pimped out. Literally pimped out and used for sexual purposes. They have no choice in the matter and no telling what kind of abuse they're taking. I just want to go wring the neck of every person that's involved in doing that. There's human trafficking. There's abuse of all kinds. These are things that are on my prayer list every single day. My prayer list is, I think, 4 pages long now typed. It's long, very long. Gay marriage, obviously, suicides, abortion. And now Ireland, I got an email from my friend Brent, who said that in Ireland, they're about to vote on whether to legalize abortion there, I guess. So we're all praying together that that won't happen. But I wish that I could wipe every single one of these things off the face of the earth. And it makes me truly look forward to when Jesus comes back and does that. Because it's horrid. It's absolutely horrible. And you know, the more, for you newer Christians, the closer that you walk with him as you go on in the walk, and the more that you allow him to wipe the sin out of your life, and the more you lay down those sins at his feet, the more you will be like him and love the things he loves, and you will begin to hate evil and wickedness. You will hate it. You will despise it. In every age, there has always been evil. You know, Cain and Abel. You know, Cain slew Abel because he was jealous. That was the first murder. Noah, violence and perversion reigned. So God told Noah to build a boat. He was taking him out of there, and everybody else he was just taking out. Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was the righteous one, and his family, you know, he and his family were saved. And Sodom and Gomorrah, five cities were completely destroyed. You know, in David's time, it was the Philistines. In Jesus' time, it was the Pharisees, and of course, Judas, and other people like Judas. In the apostles' time, it was the Romans who dominated everyone and crucified people when they didn't do what they wanted. So, you know, you think about it, sometimes you go, maybe this is just part of living in the world. But is it? Is it? Stop loving the world and the things that are in the world. If anyone persists in loving the world, the Father's love is not in him. That's not the King James Version, by the way. And here's the one that really should scare us. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That scripture should scare every one of us. So we live in a time when it is actually common for major denominations to appoint people that are living in abomination to the clergy and proudly proclaim it, for mega church leaders to go on television saying they're in agreement with all of that and that they accept all of that in their church. I'm trying to stay calm as I preach this, y'all. I'm very passionate about these subjects. I'm very passionate about them, and they upset me terribly. Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. I think that most Christians have been lukewarm for so long that they're happy to just float along in their lukewarm existence and just, you know, let the world do what it'll do. Let the people who are practicing wickedness do whatever they want to do, pass whatever laws they want to pass, and you just stay in your little lukewarm cloud there. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. We live in a time where churches prefer big numbers to big truth. And that is why people are not getting helped. Can I just say that? The people who are seeking truth, and there are still a few of them out there, especially people who are new Christians, who realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and so they give their heart and their life to him, and they go to church like I did, looking for him, and he's not there. Why is he not there? He's not there because what's being preached in the church is not of him. It's a bunch of lukewarm, watered down stuff that isn't, you know, it may entertain you for 20 minutes, but it's not going to change your life and it's not going to make you feel conviction. You should walk away from a sermon feeling changed or convicted. You should feel something besides, wow, what are we having for lunch? Or wow, I'm sure glad that wasn't any longer of a sermon than it was. I found a quote online. Many people don't want the truth. They just want constant reassurance that what they believe is the truth. How scary is that? I want y'all to think about this today. This is important. Here's why it's important. We are the Christians, okay? Whether you go to church or not, we are the church, okay? We have the truth. So whose job is it to proclaim the truth? It's not the people who don't know God. All right, I'm just telling you. Churches are full of leaders who refuse to call sin what it is and refuse to preach a gospel that's not watered down because they want to stay popular with the people, and God forbid they should offend someone and people should leave. You know what? If somebody leaves your church because you preach the truth, God will bring 10 times that many in to hear the truth. Can I just say that? We live in a world full of lukewarm believers who prefer the comfort of being lukewarm to the discomfort of proclaiming truth to a dying and hurting world, a lost world, a world that pretty soon isn't even going to be here. And all these people, if we have not spoken truth to them, if their lives have not been changed, if they have not given their lives to Jesus, are going to hell. Can I just tell you that? And they are not ever coming out of there. So you keep your friends and you keep your comfort zone and you have your nice little lukewarm existence or your nice little lukewarm church. But the Bible says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Because what will you give in exchange for your soul? Because there's no deal making after you check out. God doesn't make deals on that. If the pastors of the lukewarm churches are silent on speaking the truth because they don't want to lose congregants, and if the believers are silent because they want to be accepted and they want to be politically correct, who is going to proclaim the truth to this world? Who's going to do that? Because it is our job to do that. And not just those of us who preach, by the way. It is every Christian's job. I'm just telling you. Otherwise, no one who is lost is going to find any truth whatsoever. All right, so, yep, I know, I can hear you now. Well, what if I speak the truth and I get in trouble or, you know, people turn away from me or my family doesn't speak to me anymore? Guess what? All of those of us who have spoken the truth very boldly at some time have gone through all those things. We've lost friends, jobs, family. I've had almost my entire family turn on me at one time. My mother didn't, because she was as zealous for the Lord as I am, but there is a price to pay, but it's still your job. I'm just telling you. There were other people in the Bible who did proclaim truth. Daniel chapter 3, the three Hebrews. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, I hope I'm pronouncing those right, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. How would you like to be threatened with that? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, Nebuchadnezzar, we're glad you ask. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar was so angry that the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His whole countenance changed. Have you ever seen someone when demons take over them? That's exactly what happens. Seen it numerous times. When the demons take over, their whole face will change. Their eyes will change. Sometimes their face will become like stone. It's very strange. It'll contort, all kinds of things. Very weird. Jesus, our Savior, also stood up and proclaimed truth in the face of all kinds of persecution. As we know, he is our example. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. I don't think this is the King James Version that I copied on this. And he went on quite a few more verses after that. And my favorite of all the stories where Jesus stood up was the money changers. When he turned over the money changers table, I love that story in John chapter 2. And this was not long before his crucifixion. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Go Jesus. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Anyway, it goes on, but numerous times did Jesus speak truth very boldly and got in trouble for it. At one point, he spoke something they didn't like. I think that was when he preached in the temple, and they took him out like by the cliff and were going to push him off the cliff. And he kind of disappeared in their midst and walked right through them, and they didn't recognize him. They looked up and didn't know where he was. So, and there were other times besides that. Too many people are not looking for truth, though they don't, because they don't know that they need it, and they don't understand that truth is exactly what would fix the problems in their life and make them happy and give them peace, and they would have joy, all the things that they're seeking through worldly means. They are looking for a religion that fits into the life they want. They pick out their life and they go, okay, I'm going to live like this. Let me see if I can find a religion that fits in this little peg hole right here. But don't disturb anything in my life. Don't make me give up anything. Don't tell me I can't do this or I shouldn't do that. Even though those are the very things that keep them bound. The Bible tells us clearly how to deal with sinners in our midst that call themselves Christians, people that are part of our church or part of our church group. There are a lot of home, I don't want to call them cell groups because not every group belongs to a church. There are a lot of Christians that get together and kind of make their own Bible study groups because they can't find a church that is preaching truth. So they've come out of the church. Who can blame them? I've done the same thing. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, that means if he's part of the congregation, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, know not to eat. So you're not even supposed to have lunch with them if they do that. And that's if they're in the church, they're calling themselves a Christian, but they're actually being hypocrites and living some other way that's not Christian. That is how you keep the church pure. You don't let people stay in the church that are doing what, you know, if they're shacking up with their girlfriend or they're shacking up with their boyfriend, what are they doing? If they come to church and they want to repent, great. They should come to the altar and they should repent, and then they should banish that sin from their lives. But if they want to stay in sin, you don't want them in your congregation. That stuff spreads. It's contagious. Or I should say the demons that are in them are contagious. Okay. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And it says, I wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's a scary set of scriptures right there, y'all. Scary set of scriptures right there. I wonder if Jesus were walking the streets of your neighborhood today and he were preaching like he used to preach, the way he always preached, he was always the same, what do you think would happen? I think, first of all, the media would be crawling all over him. They would follow him around. They'd be everywhere, in front of him, beside him, and behind him. Crowds would gather to protest. He would confront all the perversion in our world, and he would not candy coat one iota of it. Can I just tell you that? LGBTs would take him to court. They would be suing him and try to have him arrested, saying he was preaching and it was a hate crime. And he would draw the line and say, no, this is truth and I'm not stepping over it. Because that's who he is. That's who he is. He would not back down no matter what they threatened him with. He never backed down. He went all the way to the cross. Not even guilty of what they accused him of, but he never backed down. He never changed what he was preaching ever. We are going into the end of the end times. Can you do the same thing? Can you keep the same story? Can you be the same Christian then that you are now? Are you the same Christian when you're at work or when you're at the gym as you are at home or in your church? Are you the same all the time? Because if you're not the same all the time, something is wrong and you need to fix it now before it's too late. Jesus would see their hypocrisy and the evil within them, and he'd probably get angry. I think he would get angry, and he should get angry over that. He might take a whip, and he might make him up a whip, and he might throw some stuff around like he did with the money changers. He would also tell them that he loves them, and he would try to get them to repent like he still does today. They would ridicule him in the press. They would call him a zealot. They would make fun of him, probably make fun of how he dressed, call him a wacko, intolerant and narrow-minded, old-fashioned, for not accepting their lifestyle as normal. And they would go off and find a church that affirms them just the way they are. And they would never know truth or get any better. And Jesus would still go to the cross for them, loving them all the way. Jesus does accept everyone. He does not accept the sin. He accepted the woman in adultery, but he didn't accept her sin. He didn't say, oh, go on, keep doing what you're doing. That's not what he did. When he sat with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and all of them, his goal was always the same, to get them to repent and be saved. That was always his goal. Go and sin no more. I'll heal you. Go and sin no more. If we are living as we should, if we are living the life that we proclaim with our words, then we are a contrast to the world. That makes us the salt of the world. You know, when you put salt on, let's say you take something flavorless like a fried egg, doesn't have a lot of flavor, especially the egg white. If you put salt on it, the salt has flavor, okay? We are supposed to have flavor. We are supposed to be the contrast. We're supposed to be the light against the dark. And if we speak truth in every situation, we will expose the darkness. We will shine light, and it makes people uncomfortable. And a lot of times they will go away from you because it makes them uncomfortable. Because the demons that are attached to them don't want you hearing that truth, don't want them hearing that truth. So the demons will take them out of there. I remember when I first got saved, when I first tried to go to church in South Louisiana, and I went to this really anointed church, and I mean, they were really like in revival. They had, the Spirit of God was moving in that church. And I wanted to get up and run out the door because I didn't have any deliverance. So the demons were fighting me, and I'm like, no, I am sitting right here. I'm not moving. And I made myself sit through that because I knew it wasn't right that I wanted to run out, and I didn't want to. I wanted to hear the word, but something else wanted me to leave. I didn't leave. But boy, was that ever a fight. The demons that are attached to people when they're lost or when they've not yet been delivered do not want to sit and hear anointed preaching. Can I just tell you that? So let me ask you this. Do you speak up for the truth? When you encounter evil, do you speak truth? Because, you know, if you're silent long enough, eventually the evil will be so great, it'll be like it was years ago. And the next thing you know, somebody you know is about to get lynched. How are you going to speak up then if you're not in practice speaking up all the time? You're just going to watch your friend get lynched because you don't have the guts to speak up and speak truth and tell them that's wrong? I'm serious here, y'all. I'm asking you real questions. I want y'all to think about this. You are going into the end of the end times, the worst times the world has ever known. They will be worse than any time before them. And you should be the same in that time as you claim to be right now. And I know a lot because God is showing me right now that at least 30% of the people that are going to hear this podcast or watch this video, you are not the same person you pretend to be. You say you're this or say you're that, but you've never really tested it. You know, and we have to try these things. We have to be proved. Lord, I just pray that you would give them a chance to show that they are not, so that they can change. Silence in the face of evil is evil. Okay? If you are silent, you are in agreement with whatever is happening. If you witness, like, if I see someone abusing an animal, I can't stand still and be quiet. I can't do it. And if they hit me, they hit me. I don't care. But I'm going to take up for the poor little defenseless animal because it's not right. And if I see someone abusing a person, I'm going to do the same thing. Because I have been the person who was being abused and someone else knew and did nothing, okay? Somebody right in, like, in the next room who heard it and knew it was going on and did nothing. I have been that person. I know what it feels like to be that victim. And I will not stand by and see it happen to someone else or something else. God will not hold us guiltless if we do. Can I just tell you that? He's not okay with that. Jesus set the example for us. Y'all listen to me. Please listen to me. This quote right here, I think it was Nicole sent this to me, by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, is amazing. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Because the silence speaks as loud as your words do. The silence says, oh, I'm okay with what you're doing. If you're not okay, you should not be just standing there. Because next time it might be you it's happening to. Ooh, that came from the Lord. That was not in my notes. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. We live in a world that is so against everything Christian and becoming worse by the day. Do you know why it is so bad now? Because we have been silent too long. And the people before us, whoever had the chance before us, maybe they were silent or too many of them were silent. Some of them spoke up, but not enough. It's only going to get worse if we don't speak up. I remember in 2006, when I was working in the oil and gas industry, I wasn't doing any kind of ministry. And I remember I had the television on one night and this commercial came on. And part of it was vulgar and I was like, really? That's on television? And I happened to think that if my little grandson had been sitting there, he would have seen that. And how embarrassed I would have been for him to see anything that vulgar on television. There is a lot of godless stuff on television, but there's a lot of stuff that's absolutely anti-Christian. If you pay for television or you watch television, you have a right to have an opinion about what they show. All right? The reason the LGBT stuff is winning so many battles is because they are louder than we are. Do you hear me? They are louder. They are very militant. Prophet Jay Hudson wrote in his book, The Feather and the Sword, about when he was in that lifestyle, how they had an agenda to infiltrate the evangelical churches and to, get the law changed and all that. They actually have had a plan for decades to do this, y'all. Why are we sitting by letting that happen? Now, we can't do anything about what President Obama did, and we know he's part of that community. So, you know, that part, the gay marriage thing is done. But there's a lot of other stuff we can still speak up about. The shows on television, the things that are shown, things like that, things in the media. We can have an opinion and we can voice that opinion, whether it's through a letter, a phone call, an email, boycotting a show, boycotting a channel. These things work. They work. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Yeah, woe. Woe in the Bible means you're as good as dead. Keep that in mind. And, 1 Timothy 4 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We are seeing a lot of that now. And I'm sure there's more to come. And therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Keep that in mind. If you don't speak up, don't be upset about the results you didn't get for the work you didn't do. All right? Do not be upset when you didn't get results because you didn't do any work, you have no right to complain if you don't have the courage to stand up and join the fight, at least in some small way. You can sign a petition. You can share stuff on Facebook. There's a lot of stuff you can do. Just have a voice. Albert Einstein said this, and I think this is really telling. The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. You're free to choose if you want to do something about it or not do something about it, but you're not going to be free from the consequences of whichever one you choose. This makes me so sad, y'all. It just makes me so sad. Now, in 1990, I think it was 1998, the RFID chip came out. And when it came out, there was a huge uproar from the Christian community that said, that's the chip, we don't want it. And I wasn't paying attention then. I was working in oil and gas, and so I didn't see what happened. But they succeeded in getting it pulled from the market. It's out there now, and it's making a comeback, but I just want to tell y'all this stuff works. Also, this email that I got today, I'll just read it to you verbatim from CNN. This season, NFL players must stand during the national anthem. Team owners decided Wednesday in Atlanta, a reaction to fierce backlash against some who took a knee in symbolic opposition to the systemic oppression of people of color, including by police. Okay, enough people screamed about that the NFL did something about it. Okay? Our voices count. That is what I'm telling you. Your voice counts. Use it. Do something with it. Do not just sit there. I'm going to tell you a story about a lighthouse. I'm not going to read you the whole thing because it's kind of long, but it talks about the lights along the shore and the sailors, you know, navigating towards the light so they don't crash on the rocks and stuff like that. In the last century, D.L. Moody told the story of a passenger boat trying to make Cleveland Harbor on a stormy night. The pilot knew he could find the harbor channel safely by keeping two lower shore lights aligned with the main beacon, but the lower lights had gone out. In the darkness, the pilot bravely tried to find the channel, but the boat crashed on the rocks, and many lives were lost. How many lives will be lost if we refuse to let our light shine in this time? If you refuse to let your light shine, then I think that there is a very good chance that the Lord is going to hold you accountable, because Jesus was our example. And he said to expose the works of darkness. And he said to not keep company with anybody that's part of it. I want y'all to think about that. How many lives will be lost if you don't shine? How many lives will be lost if you don't speak up against the evil that you know, that you encounter, that grieves you? I'm not just saying this stuff, y'all, I do it. When I saw that commercial on that television back in 2006, I wrote a letter. And you know what? That commercial came off. There must have been a bunch of people who wrote a letter. I ain't saying this is my letter that did this. There must have been a bunch of people that wrote about that same commercial, because right after that, about a month later, that commercial never showed up on television again. Never have seen it since. Your voice counts. The reason evil is gaining ground in our world is because they are louder than we are, and they are more willing to launch the fight than we are. We have to change that. Thanks for watching. Y'all have a great week. Jesus bless you. Y'all remember this. Think about it. All right, Bambi, I'm coming to get you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas, 7239 or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com.